This Bible talk, titled Image and Likeness, is on Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. It's the second sermon in our series, Beginnings, on the book of Genesis, and it was recorded at Rabena on Sunday, the 7th of February, 2021.
Ancient Greek mythology tells the story about a young man who loved hunting. With only his bow and arrows for companions, he spent his days hunting in the forest. After tracking game for hours, he was tired from the heat and the exercise. There, the young man found a shady spot and he came across a spring of water. The water was as clear as crystal and he stooped to drink from it. Suddenly, he paused. For there, reflected in the stillness of the water, was the most beautiful face that he had ever seen. The more he looked with wonder, the more beautiful the image appeared to him. He spoke to the image, and the lips reflected and parted as though answering. He smiled at the image, and the two starry eyes lovingly smiled back. When he looked closer to the water, and he moved closer to the water, the beautiful face would rise up to meet his. But when he tried to touch it, the wonderful image disappeared from his sight. The reflection became blurry, only to reappear when the water was stilled. Eventually, he lost all desire for food and for sleep, only spending his time lovingly gazing at his own image. Slowly, he began to fade away. The redness of his cheeks grew dim. His body became thinner and thinner until at last he died. Narcissus had fallen in love with himself, in love with his own reflection. But that's just ancient Greek mythology. Imagine falling in love with your own image. There's no way we'd be so vain. The mythological story of Narcissus gave rise to the psychological term narcissism. Narcissism is the fixation upon oneself, one's own physical appearance and public perception. One of the really fascinating things I've found coming out of COVID isolation has been this new condition called Zoom fatigue. Have you heard about it? We're all doing more video conferencing nowadays, but people are experiencing more levels of increased emotional exhaustion because instead of looking at the people that we're talking to online, we've become fixated with looking at our own self-view. We're tired from staring at our own image, worrying about how we're being perceived and our appearance on camera. Every bathroom has a mirror in it. How much time do you spend looking at yours? Ours is an image-driven culture. We carry cameras around in our pockets. We've become besotted with ourselves. And social media only exists because of images. It's where we live out our best life now in front of an audience. Facebook and Instagram are visual mediums. TikTok, let me tell you, is a ticking time bomb. 95 million photos a day. Did you hear me? 95 million photos a day are being uploaded to Instagram. 350 million a day uploaded to Facebook. That's 14.5 million photos per hour, 243,000 photos per minute, 4,000 photos per second. Do you remember the pain of watching other people's holiday slides? Google reports that its Android devices take a staggering 93 million selfies a day. Every third photo, that's one in three photos taken by someone aged 18 to 24, is a selfie. Television is all about image. TV has changed the shape of our lounge rooms and our meal times. We eat in front of the TV. We don't talk to one another anymore. I know families that don't even own a dining table. Image drives our economy. Image fuels our consumerism. Image feeds our imagination because we picture ourselves in the commercial, don't we? Holidaying in that location, driving that new car, owning that luxury home, wearing that designer brand, being with that beautiful person, living the fantasy life of a soft drink commercial. Image is powerful. Image is everything. But friends, whose image are you in love with? Whose image are you reflecting to your audience? We're in our series called Beginnings, at the beginning of the book of Beginnings, and we're in the opening chapters of Genesis. And the plan, friends, here is to stay for a little while in this spot. What we're trying to do in our series on Genesis is to slow things down. We want to sit with the Bible passage. We want to allow God's word to do its work in us and on us. And so on Sunday mornings and in our growth groups during the week, we're going to look a little bit closer. We're going to dig a little bit deeper. Because Genesis isn't just the beginning of the Bible. It's foundational in our knowledge of God. When it comes to knowing how to live as a disciple, we want to move beneath the surface. We want real change in our lives. And Genesis is lots of things, but ultimately, friends, it's Torah. It's instructional. Genesis is a book that teaches us how to live God's way in God's world. That's why it's here. Last week, if you were with us, we looked at the Creator. This morning, we're looking at His creation. Specifically, what it means for us to be God's image, what it means to be in God's likeness. So let us together look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Can you see that with me? Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." In all of His other creative work, God speaks things into being. He commands and they become. He says, and so it is. And God said, and it was so, and there was evening and there was morning. That's the pattern of creation that we read in Genesis 1, isn't it? That's the order of how things were made. But that pattern gets broken in verse 26. Here the rhythm changes tempo. The tune is played in a different key. Everything gets slowed down. Our attention is deliberately shifted, abruptly inviting us to refocus our thoughts. Because if instead of commanding things into being, God almost sounds reflective in wanting to be reflected. Can you hear Him? Let us make God man in our image, after our likeness. Why does God refer to Himself in the plural? Who is the us and the our in this verse? Some people think that this is a reference to the Trinity. And maybe it is. But the original readers of the book of Genesis didn't understand this as a reference to the Trinity. Judaism is still strictly a monotheistic religion. Any teachings to the contrary would have been met with stoning. It's only as God's revelation of Himself unfolds throughout Scripture, as God discloses more and more of Himself to us, that we clearly begin to see that God is three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, in unity, tri-unity, Trinity. But the point being made here in the passage is we're not compared with the animals. We're not created according to their kinds, although I've got to say I've met a few creepy people before. Humans aren't created like the animals. We're created in the likeness of God. Humanity here, friends, is being compared with God, made in the image and likeness of God. Reformer John Calvin said it this way: while all the other living beings being bent over look earthward, man has been given a face uplifted, bidden to gaze heavenward and to raise his countenance, that's his face, to the stars. Mankind is different from the animals. We've been given dominion over them. So we're not the same as them. Verse 26. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Our God-likeness isn't seen only in us having dominion. God gives dominion to those who bear His image. You see, dominion is bestowed. Likeness is created. Likeness is who we are. It's not limited to what we do. God-likeness is core to our humanity. It's central to our identity and our worth as people. Being created in the image of God is inseparable for what it means for us to be human. You see, likeness is who we are, and it's expressed by what we've been called to do, and we can see what we've been called to do in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Last week, if you're with us, Adam, not the garden variety but the pulpit kind, helpfully pointed out for us God's created order. In days 1 to 3 of creation, remember from the picture here behind me, from the days 1 to 3 of creation, God forms. In days 4 to 6, God fills. But now God forms the man in his likeness and commissions him to fill creation. You see, we're made to do what God does. We've been made to be like him, like God in who we're made to be, like God in what we're made to do, like God in how we relate and behave in the world that he's made. Made in God's image to reflect him, created in God's likeness to be like him. But the command to fulfill and to subdue does not belong alone to the man. God says it's not good for the man to be alone. Friends, men don't reflect God's image alone. God's likeness isn't just for men. Besides, how can one man fill the earth all by himself? Not even modern science can help him with that. Look there with me, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Obviously, we're going to need to look at this in a little bit more detail. And in a few weeks' time, friends, we will. But for now, I want you to see clearly. I simply want us to understand this because the implications here for us are enormous, especially in a world that is confused by gender. Gender and sexuality are central to our humanity. Of course, it's all tied up together with identity. God made us this way. God even said that it was very good. So you start messing around and experimenting with some of this stuff, things are going to get complex and complicated pretty quickly. It's not that men are in God's image while women are in the image of men. No, God created both genders. Male and female, he created them. Men and women, equal but different, created for one another, created in God's likeness to reflect his glory, created to be like God. But we are not God. Like God means similar to, it does not mean the same as. We're patterned after God, but we're inferior and subordinate to him. We're like God in that we both speak, we're both referred to in personal pronouns, we exercise authority over things, and we have the capacity to make decisions and choices. But God has always existed. Humanity was created. We're under God's dominion, which means we're not equal to him. He has authority over us. God is spirit. Humans are bodily. We have flesh and blood. God is eternal, but we are mortal. Friends, we have an expiry date. Invisible versus visible, heavenly versus earthly, infinite versus finite. There is clearly a distinction here between God and mankind. Image does not mean equality. We've created and been created to reflect God's likeness. As some of you know, we recently bought a house, and like most new home buyers, I say home buyers because of the size of our mortgage, it clearly means we're not going to be home owners anytime soon. Anyway, despite knocking over a few jobs already, our list of home improvements continues to increase exponentially. One of the jobs on my list this week was to get the TV antenna repaired. At one of the TV antenna outlets in our house, there was little to no reception at all. The TV didn't pick up all of the channels. The picture was glitchy on others. Despite tuning and retuning the television set, nothing improved. I got momentary glimpses of good reception, but the image soon returned to total distortion. Friends, don't adjust your television sets because after the fall and the eviction of mankind from Eden, glimpses and glitches of God's image is really the best kind of reception that we're ever going to get. Some people want to make a distinction here between image and likeness. Image, likeness, like these two nouns mean different things. Some suggest image means bodily traits, while likeness means our spiritual nature. Others say image refers to our characteristics, while likeness refers to our qualities. One version of Christian tradition teaches that we're deprived, not depraved. That is, that somehow we lost our God likeness in Genesis 3, but somehow managed to maintain God's image. But that is not what we believe about sin. That is not how we understand God's image and our fallen condition. Reformed theology ranges from losing everything at the fall to losing our original righteousness. But none of these ideas are supported simply by the wording of Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 alone, are they? Here, likeness is used as a descriptor for the word image. Image is explained by using the word likeness. Likeness and image mean the same thing. The idea is repeated so we can see the picture clearly. Made in God's likeness, created in his image, it's the same idea, friends, not two separate ones. Here's a recent portrait I had commissioned of me. Malcolm Hawley, who's age 5, drew it for me. You'll know Malcolm, he comes to church here. It's Archibald-esque, I reckon. I think the likeness is uncanny, don't you? Especially the ears. But if you want to see the image of God in man, if you want to see God's likeness and what it looks like, then you're only ever going to catch glimpses and glitches of it. You won't see the fullness of God in God's likeness in fallen man. We're created to be like God, friends, but that pattern was broken in Eden. Genesis 3 is a major bummer because the image of God became distorted. At best, it's faded and the signal is too distant. But God's image and likeness is now being renewed. God creates us in his creation to be a new creation. God's image and likeness can now be seen not in us, but the fullness of God revealed in the likeness of his Son. John starts his gospel in the beginning this way. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. If John chapter 1 sounds to you a lot like Genesis chapter 1, that's because it's meant to. It's a new beginning that started in the beginning. John says it this way in chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of God became flesh, God with us. He was with God in the beginning. You can't get any more image of God than God. But Jesus isn't like God, friends. He is God. We were made to be like God, remember, but God has become like us. Jesus comes to make the Father known. He reveals God to us. Can't get any more image of God than Jesus. But Jesus isn't like God. He is God. He is the image of the invisible God, says the Apostle Paul. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. In Jesus, the invisible is made visible to us. Not created, see it there. Jesus is the creator. He has dominion over all of creation. Everything exists for him, including us. Jesus is eternal. He's not mortal. He is the first over creation. He is first to rise from the dead. Jesus dies like one of us so that we might live forever with him. Reconciled and restored by the blood of his cross, God is now restoring his image in us, renewed to reflect the likeness of God. Don't you see? We're being recreated now to be different. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, see it there, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. We're being renewed in God's image, recreated to now reflect the likeness of Jesus. This is how we're supposed to live now. We're meant to be like Jesus was. He was all of these things towards us. So now we need to live like he does. See it with me, Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Don't you see, friends? We're made to do what God does, reconciled to reflect his likeness. Every Christian is to be like a little Christ. That's what it means for us to be renewed in his image. We're meant to do what Jesus does. Genesis tells us how to live. Here's how we're to live. Christ's likeness demonstrated in all of our relationships. We fill the world with his image by being his disciples and making disciples for him. So here's where we slow things down a little bit. Here's where we get to look in the mirror. What role does anger still play in your life? What words can be heard coming out of your mouth sometimes in the car when no one else is around? Would those who are closest to you say that you're a patient person? What would your wife say about that? Do your children experience your humility and meekness? Can they see Christ reflected in all of your character? Tell me, what do you like at showing kindness and compassion to other people that you don't like, that you don't agree with, that you think deserve what they've got? Do you forgive quickly, or do you still seethe ever so slowly? Maybe you're still in love with your own image. Let's ask Jesus to captivate the imagination of our hearts this morning. Tell me, whose image are you reflecting? Whose likeness are you projecting to a world that is watching how you behave? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that in creation you made us to be like you, to bear your image and likeness, to be your image bearers, to be those who have dominion and rule over all that you've created, and to be like you in filling the earth and subduing it. And yet we know full well that that's not how things are. We know within ourselves, we know within our own family units, we know within our own frustrations and our failing and aching bodies that this world is broken and so are we. And that we no longer reflect your image and likeness as we should. In fact, we often reflect the image of something else altogether. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have not left us in our sins, that through your death on the cross you have reconciled us and renewed us and are renewing us to become more like you. That work that you've begun, Lord Jesus, would you continue it? Would you continue it and carry it on to completion in our homes and in our lives and when we drive the car and with the people that we meet with at work and those who drive us completely insane? Lord Jesus, help us to be like you. To forgive as you forgive. To be patient like you're patient. To show mercy and compassion because you are all those things to us. Help us to be like you. And may the way that we live be a way in which the world knows that we are your disciples, not just by our love for one another, of course, but the way that we live would draw other people to you. Fill the earth with your image, Lord Jesus, renewed in the likeness of you, our Creator. For those of us who still struggle with anger, for those of us who don't know how to be patient, for those of us who tell lies, for those of us who continue to deceive ourselves, we pray that you would redeem us and rescue us and to become more like your Son. Captivate our hearts, we pray. For we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.